Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Red Circle. Also, the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord. If you subscribe to the old Off the Floor, we can tell you this one is a lot better. You can communicate with us as well as other fans, essentially 24/7. Check it out. The link to it is on the top of the Five Reasons Sports Twitter page. You'll also find it in the descriptions to these episodes. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN at betteredge.com. This is where you can bet against others who use it. You're not betting against the app. That's why you can find the line you want. They call it social sports betting, and it's legal in the state of Florida. Check it out at betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. And now, today's episode.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on the Five Reasons Sports. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow me at Brady Hawk 305. Make sure you check out the last episode that I did with Alex Toledo. We went through the three drafts that the Heat have nailed since 2017, the Bam draft, the Tyler draft, and the Jaime draft. And now in this episode, we're going to focus more on Hawkes specifically, because one of the things that came out of the last game, Brady, was Eric Spoelstra saying, I didn't run a play for him. 31 points, 10 rebounds on Christmas Day, led the team in minutes again, no plays run. And this is one of the reasons that when I've spoken to Eric Spoelstra a couple times, once at the end of camp at FAU, and again the other day after practice, he has talked about the rotational and positional clarity of this team. So as much as he talks about positionless, this team is easier for him to manage because, as what he told me coming out of camp, and I got him to explain it a little bit more this time around, there are more guys who can play off the ball. That not everybody needs the ball in their hands. Like last year, he had to make a choice between Strus and Robinson. He chose Strus. Then he was kind of thinking of choosing Robinson, but then Duncan got hurt coming back from Mexico City, so he stayed with Strus because he had to run plays for both those guys. Tyler is somebody that they will run plays for. Oladipo last year was somebody who needed the ball in his hands to be effective. In this case, Jaime Hawkins does not. Jimmy Butler does not, even though he gets those touches. And Spoelstra said yesterday something to the general media that he said to me the day before, which was that Jimmy could get 20 just running around. He probably would like it if he didn't touch the ball the whole time, but that he could do it consistently. Well, Jaime just got 31 just running around. So I guess Brady, what fans are going to want to know now is, and I saw a lot of this under the quote, when you and me and Alex all posted that quote about, you know, I didn't run a single play for him from Eric Spoelstra, everybody's like, well, why not? If he's getting 31, if you're not running plays for him, what's he going to get if you run plays for him? So I will just ask you this. If you were to run more plays for Jaime Jaquez, what would they look like?
So yeah, first let me just say, because I know that quote was running, like Spo not running a play for him, I don't think is equal to the fact that like he's still like in actions. Like he's still within certain play calls that are just general things that the Miami Heat do on the fly, like on a regular half court possession. But he's not like coming out of a timeout or they're coming down the floor and he's signaling for a Jaime Jaquez play. So I think that's like the big difference, because it was like his first bucket of the game, Jaime Jaquez, was Tyler like back screen for him to kind of flow into a handoff, and Hawkins was just wide open on a back cut. So it's like those little things coming off a screen, like, yeah, there's an action, but it's not a play. Now, what would those actions be? I mean, the easiest thing to say is like things similar to Jimmy. So number one, I think the first thing we could say is see some pick and roll reps. But like to your point about like positional clarity and certain things throughout the lineup, it's like they just don't need him to run pick and rolls. They have enough guys that can run pick and rolls that are trying to balance that themselves, that they just don't really need that from him. And the fact is, what is the reason that you run a pick and roll? You run a pick and roll so you could try to get a good shot or get to the rim. Hawkins, I keep saying it, like it does not matter where you put him, he can get to the rim. And I'm not even talking about the efficiency stuff, because he's been efficient, even though some games there was a game recently where he wasn't. And it was like the first time I was like, wait, he shot 50%? He shot 40-something percent? Wow, what a terrible game from him. But you look at the fact of how he's able to get there. If it's the mid post, if it's, like you mentioned, off-ball stuff, if it's all these things, he just is able to get rim attempts so easy. And I'm glad you mentioned the off-ball stuff, because whenever Spo was asked about Jaquez, and I've asked him about Jaquez a ton, he spends more than half of his time talking about him, mentioning the off-ball stuff. Like, he starts there, and it almost feels like they're saying to themselves, like, we're going to keep doing that only until you stop it. Like, until somebody says, okay, we could take this away from him, and what are you going to do now? Why not keep doing it where he can roll into 31 points, not having to touch the ball and kind of pound the ball into the floor, where it's just like easy looks, running the break, quick things off the catch in the mid post. If he's just finding that, like, he does the same move every game that he does like twice a game, where he does that spin over his left shoulder and lays it in. Like, he's not even like deeply on a scouting report yet. So it's like, I feel like that's going to be the first step. It's like, okay, we're getting toward, you know, the end of the season. Teams are starting to figure out how to take away that drop step. Okay, now we have to put the call of this play for him to get him this look. So that's kind of, I feel like, be the next step. But for now, it feels like they could just let him freely play, and he seems to be really good at it.
Well, let's get to that next step then, because that is always what happens with rookies. He's on the scouting report now. He has to be. You know, you talked to Max about that last year, about the adjustments. Duncan, I'm working on a piece on Duncan. It's going to be a podcast, but also in story form. And I got a chance to talk to Spo on the side for a little bit the other day. And he told me that in the Milwaukee series, the second one, the one that they got swept, the one that, of course, you know, Bryn Forbes famously outscored Jimmy Butler, right? The one that was basically an extension of the bubble season, that they played Duncan more aggressively than any team ever had before. And he went to Duncan and said, look, we need to change some things. Okay, this is not going to work anymore. And as Spo told me, it didn't happen overnight. It's taken 3 years. Duncan had to go basically back to the bottom with his confidence and come out the other side. And now he's come out a totally different player, who is essentially unscoutable at this stage, because he can create off the dribble. And Spo said to me, and I've told you this, Spo said to me when I said, well, okay, well, what if they go back with Duncan and now they're going to back off of him and not give the quite the same gravity because the other things he's doing. And he looks at me and goes, well, Brady asked the same question. He's like, I think we'll take that if they're going to just let Duncan shoot. So you see the adjustment and then the adjustment to the adjustment. Here's the thing about Hawkins, and then I want to get your expertise on this. I don't really know what they try to take away, because it doesn't seem like you could speed him up. Like you said, the ball's not in his hands that long. And, you know, I go back, and I've mentioned this on Playback, and please join us on Playback. We broke down a lot of the film from last night on there today. Just go download the Playback app for free, and you'll get the notifications. You can join us anytime. Kendrick Nunn is the perfect example of a player who got scouted and couldn't adjust. And we saw that coming. Okay. Alex and I were talking about that a lot on the podcast, because it was clear what Kendrick was going to do. He was if he was running a pick and roll or he was coming off a screen, he was not passing. Okay. He was not passing. Like, everybody knew he was trying to get to that kind of mid-range area, whatever. And so teams started crowding him, and there was no adjustment made to it. And we asked him about it. He said he would adjust. There were other factors involved with Kendrick that he had to deal with that year, a couple times with COVID. He had some personal stuff. So it wasn't just that, but a lot of it was that. It was the fact that he couldn't be the same player. But I'm trying to figure this out. Like, I watched – if you watched that game yesterday, okay, and people watched it, okay, more people watched the Ravens and the Niners, but people watched it, what do you try to take away from him?
From so, first of all, you're trying to set me up because people get mad that I talk about schematics enough, and now you're trying to me to tell people how to stop Jaime Jaquez, how to stop his excellence. Like, that's just the first thing here. But I will say –
you're gonna get the tapping and the point this time.
In the stare, just get everything. There was yesterday's a perfect example of like, what do you take away? And I know we talked about this at the game where we were like, I remember I looked at you, I was like, I guess they're gonna start forcing him to take mid-range jumpers. And like two plays later, he gave a pump fake in the corner, stepped into a baseline mid-range jumper, and I was like, okay, there's nothing left. Like there's really nothing they could do at that point. But there was a play early in the game where Hawkins had the ball in the mid-post. And Duncan was almost like kind of clearing a little bit, and Oubre was guarding Duncan, helps down to Jaquez, and then Duncan like sprints to the corner and takes a fading three and hits it. It was all because of Jaquez drawing a double. So the first thing I say to myself is like, they're going to start not letting him comfortably get into these matchups, much like they do Jimmy. And we talk about that all the time, where they send help to Jimmy. So I think there's going to be a point where now they start hedging a little bit harder at Jaime. But when he's at this point, like it's December, and he's making those reads where he's like, okay, they're going to help down, quick kick out. Like, and a lot of this, and he mentioned this after the game when I asked him about it, he was like, they prioritize a practice being the best spacing team in the NBA, which is funny because everybody talks about Jimmy and Bam can't play together because of their spacing. And the fact that they prioritize that with the role guys is how it all works. It's just an interesting factor here because the spacing has to be perfect to make it all work. But Hawkins' reads is kind of a factor in this. So I think more doubles would probably be something I think you start to see more of, even though I feel like Miami could figure that out. And I guess there's like the thing I mentioned earlier with the drop step. It's like we've seen him, though, when a team – because there was a play – I don't even remember what game it was – where they cut off his spin. And I think we talked about this at the game, where they cut it off, and the next play threw like a fake half spin into a turnaround jump hook. And
they
I'm
actually
like,
stripped the ball on the right. Spin. They stripped it because he spins to the middle.
Yeah.
But then it was literally the next possession. We were talking about like how he would make the adjustment to it.
Yeah.
And he faked the spin to the middle and went back to the baseline.
Up and under.
Up and under and finished. So it literally – the processing speed of that literally took one play.
And that's the big thing, because I know we keep calling him Baby Jimmy and stuff, and I thought it was – one of the best answers we've had this season was when Jimmy was like, I wasn't doing that at 23. Like he you look back at the stuff he's able to do, like everybody calls Hawkins like a like he's 60 years old because he played 4 years of college. He's still a young guy that's still learning this league, but he doesn't feel like he's learning. Like it feels like he just he's like been in the league for so long with a lot of these reads and everything. So you mentioned the fact that Hawkins is on the scouting porch, which I believe. I just feel like now it's going to just be a little bit more layered, where instead of like who the guy is, it's more about what like he's becoming a primary hub for this team. And as we mentioned before with what Steph Spo talks about, one of the hardest things to scout out for a player is the off-ball stuff where you just don't need the ball. Like it's not like you're scheming around, okay, when he has the ball here at a pick and roll, when he has the ball in this spot and you want to force him this way. Like, no, he's just running around a lot of the time. And even like yesterday, what last thing I'll say, he is literally the prototypical zone breaker. Like he could single-handedly be the guy that, like, if Miami doesn't feel like facing zone anymore, they just throw him in, because teams are not going to want to face that, because he just runs around that the back line and he's going to find an open slot. If they cut that off and the way to break a zone is in the middle of the floor, where else do you want him? Like Jaime Jaquez catching with good size in the middle of the floor and turning and kind of making a play, like he's a prototypical zone breaker. So it's like you have a lot of these factors that it's like, I just don't know what you do with it. So, like, what do you take away? We're going to keep having that conversation. There's some things on the fast break I'll say that I'm like, that's the one thing I'll say I think he needs to clean up, because he's been so good on the break. But there's some things where I'm like, he doesn't, like, make the pass a lot of the break. Like, he's just going. And a lot of the times it's worked out. Like, he gets buckets. He gets fouled a lot of the time. But maybe probably play a little bit different style where they start guarding him on the break a little more than you know, his off-ball guy next to him. So we'll see, but that's going to be the next step. And I don't even know. We've said it was going to come in a week, 2 weeks. It's going to come in a month. Like, now we're into the new year, and it still hasn't come in seeing these adjustments.
Well, you mentioned the break, and we've talked about this so many times. This team's terrible in transition. I mean, they have been. They don't get – it's weird for a team that's as well coached.
So maybe you should just go. He should just go.
They don't space. They don't have a ton of finishers. Like, there seems to be no plan once they get out. I mean, it's basically like the Kevin Love, you know, baseball pass or the Kyle Lowry hit ahead. And a lot of times you see Jimmy leak down. Bam can finish. Caleb can finish, although he gets a little reckless at times. So I don't really have a problem with Jaime just going. The other thing you mentioned here, the zone, is interesting because I asked Tyler about it after the Christmas Day game, about what Spo said about how they had trouble adjusting. And he's like, we like that they went to zone. I'm paraphrasing, because it just showed they couldn't handle us in man. And I think what's interesting is that you now have teams have to scout for their role players. And that's unusual. Like, okay, let's take Tyler, Bam, and Jimmy out of the equation. Duncan's on the scouting report. Like, they have to scout Duncan. 100%. Like, you're right. They have no choice. Like, otherwise, he's going to tear you apart in a number of different ways. They have to scout Hawkins. To some degree, they have to scout Caleb, even though a lot of his stuff is off the ball also. So you're talking about three guys. I mean, look, other guys are a little bit more limited. We know Kevin at this stage is going to try to, you know, make that straightaway three, okay? And you know, he's a good passer, things like that. He'll be positionally in the right place on defense. They're not scouting Kevin at this stage, not like you might have 8-9 years ago. Josh, maybe not as much, right? But those guys, like, when you have to scout the role players, and after the break, I want to get into the Jimmy factor here. It should free things up for Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler in a significant way, and particularly with the chemistry that Hawkins has with Duncan in particular, but we start to see a little bit of it with Tyler. And ultimately, the most important chemistry on this team going forward is Hawkins and Tyler. Not maybe for this year, but for the future, because ultimately, as Jimmy moves on and Hawkins takes that slot, and that is kind of the where this is going, and that's consistent with what I've heard from the organization. They talk about their future being Bam, Tyler, and Jaime. Once that starts to happen, those two guys are going to have to be the guys who take the attention away from Bam and can create on the perimeter, do things together. So the Tyler-Jaime combination is one definitely worth watching. All right. I do want to mention another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Rock Esports Center. We're going to do another watch party there. I think it's going to be middle of January. We're going to bring everybody out there. We're also going to do some live podcasts from there. It's in Palmetto Bay. This is where you want to go if you just want to play all day. It's a great facility. They've got every game that you can imagine there, but also obviously we feature 2K, so we're gonna have the 2K tournament again after the watch parties. We're gonna do some live pods there. If you mention Five Reasons when you're down there, and they've got everything, they've got a bar area, they got food trucks there. It's a nice clean facility, and here's a great thing for Miami: there's parking. It's in the strip mall, so that's the best part. So check it out, Rock Esports Center on Palmetto Bay. And again, we're gonna do another watch party, more 2K tournaments. So we mentioned it after every game podcast that we do here, but I wanted to mention it on an off day. We'll have more details for you soon. But you mentioned Five Reasons. It's usually $25 to play all day. You get the $5 off, so it's $20. So check out Rock Esports Center in Palmetto Bay, not that far from UM.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weighted handle. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Jimmy and Jaime. We're expecting Jimmy to make this trip. By the time you listen to this podcast, we may even hear about his status for the first game of the trip in Golden State. They have played together. I think Alex said they're +9 together in limited minutes, but the minutes have been growing. I mean, Jaime has more minutes than any other player drafted in his class. I have to check it up against Chet, but I know that he has more minutes than anybody who was drafted in 2023. Jimmy's going to get back to his regular allotment of minutes at some point here, somewhere between 32 and 34, kind of depending on the night. Jaime's averaging 29. In the past month, he's averaging 33. He's also the only guy on the team who's played every game so far this season. So the anticipation is, knock on something, he's going to be out there. Okay, don't blame me if it doesn't happen. They are so similar, but why is it working? And how can it work more? I guess
I have been a very big fan of the Jimmy Jaime minutes. And I was kind of talking about that. I mean, they're the ones with the bigger sample size here. Like, cause Tyler and Jaime played a little bit to start the season, but that wasn't like this version of Jaime where he's like fully getting more opportunities. So now it's been like what, 4 games. And it's, I feel like they're just still trying to find their spots in a way. And it hasn't been bad. Like I thought they've actually, you know, play off each other pretty well. For a lot of the reasons why we talked about before, where the reasons that Jaime takes up these spots that are just not in the way of others. As for Jimmy and Jaime, I think I'm more thinking about down the line when Jimmy's getting more opportunities to run offense through him, where it's more stuff in the mid post for him, more opportunities for him going to the rim, because obviously I think some of that stuff's been a little bit limited. But I'm still not worried about it. Like I really think about it from the fact of what they're using him as. And here's the other big thing. He's shooting, what, 38% from three? Like, it's just like when we talk about taking things away, that was the thing to start the season. We were talking about, we're like, okay, you're kind of putting another guy out there that's struggling shooting, but then all of a sudden he made like 18 of 23s in a 3-4 games run. So they now have that factor that they could still stash him in that corner, because they did that last night where there was a play with Kyle and Bam pick and roll. Bam gets it on the roll. His guy dips into Bam, kick out to Jaime, and he just has like a late contest and he does not even think about it. Pulls it, knocks it down. It's like, that's the stuff you're kind of like, what do you do with that? Like, he's not in the way of these other guys. He plays off them really well. So the other thing about it, I will say though, the defensive part, because we haven't talked a lot about that. The fact that they've really have trusted Jaime defensively, and we talked about that earlier this season, but going back to last night, we were sitting there saying, how did they get Duncan in the game? Because they had Jamal Kane out there. It was Kyle, Tyler, Kane, Jaime, Bam. And we're like, okay, how are they going to bring Duncan in and take Kane out? Because Kane's guarding Maxey. Well, they brought Duncan in for Kane. And what did they do? They put Hawkins on Maxey. It's like, that is a crazy thing to do in general, because I don't feel like that's his prototypical matchup. But the fact that they trust him, that he can hold up just enough and do that stuff, it's like, it's just a guy that you could play next to anybody. It's a guy that's not going to make many mistakes. The biggest thing from last night's game to me was the fact that he had zero turnovers. Like, you're going to the rim and getting that many attempts up and going through traffic and doing all this stuff and playmaking, and you're not getting one single turnover. Like, it's just a guy that you could play next to these guys. So I will say, it's not, we keep talking about these two man lineups, like the Jaime Tyler, Jaime Jimmy. I just want to see all of them. Like, that'll be my question, because we know they could play off each other. We know there's not an issue with them spacing wise. The issue is like, where are the shots going to come when it's the four of them with the fifth, whoever fifth guy you want to put in there, which it feels like at right now is probably Duncan most nights. I don't know how you take that guy out of these closing lineups. How do they get their shots? Like, how are they kind of playing off each other? Because that's a lot of firepower in one lineup. But once again, Jaime is not going to be the guy that demands the ball. He is not going to be the guy in that lineup that gets up a lot of attempts, but he is going to be the guy that's scrapping down that baseline and getting offensive rebounds and getting tip-ins and doing all that other stuff. So we are praising Jaime a ton, but it is so warranted just for the fact of his play style, the fact that he fits on this team so well. And the biggest thing, we talk about his combo with these guys. What about his combo with Spo? Because this is like the perfect guy for Spo to utilize.
Well, I think the injuries are going to solve some of this, right? And that's kind of how that's played out this season. Now that Caleb sprained his ankle, you know, we talk about who might be the other guy in that lineup. He may not be available for a little bit. I mean, we're going to find out if he makes the trip. And he was doing a lot of those kind of dirty work, you know, off the ball type things. And now it goes to Jaime. Now, and again, Jaime had to guard Maxey because they were out of guys. Like we talked about, like they wasn't going to leave Kane in for the last 3 to 4 minutes. He doesn't trust him enough in a game like that, but he was the guy guarding Maxey because they didn't have Jimmy. They didn't have Highsmith. They didn't have Richardson. And by the end of that game, they didn't have Martin. So you weren't putting Tyler on him. You weren't putting Kyle on him. You weren't putting Duncan on him. So you're right. Okay. If you're going to get them all on the floor, then you had to put Jaime on him. And I thought he did a decent job. I did think was interesting yesterday though. This is a Spo thing that I've noticed over the years. When we start talking up a guy too much, he will find something to mention that needs improvement. Like I always say, Spo will praise individually and criticize collectively unless we're praising too much. He doesn't want anybody to get ahead of themselves. And I thought it was interesting yesterday that he threw in, unprompted, I forgot who asked the question, but it was about Hakez. He threw in, he needs to figure some things out in our defensive system, but he'll get there. That's intentional. That's exactly off. Exactly off ball. But that's intentional from Spoelstra. I think like that is okay. We're getting carried away. You know, again, he wasn't Dwayne's coach when Dwayne was a rookie. You know, he's had as far as he wasn't Rio's coach as well. He was Rio's coach. I'm sorry. He was Rio's coach and he was Beasley's coach as rookies. With Beasley, there was plenty of stuff to kind of point out as we were getting ahead of ourselves with, you know, the offensive gifts that he had. It's hard to believe that was 15 years ago. But when we would overpraise young players and start to get a little carried away, he would mention something. I remember he did it with Norris. He did it. He did it with Tyler. He's done it with Bam. He's going to do it with Hakez. And it is the off the ball defense. I think that at this point, you know, cause he stands up like he will physically, and I'll say the other thing here before we close, he's going to start getting a lot of foul calls in his favor because of the physicality that he plays with. And that's the difference between him and Tyler. Tyler's never really gotten the benefit of the doubt from the officials. Jaime will. And some of it is just perception. It's officials are influenced by stupid things sometimes, but some of it is he puts his shoulder down. Guys are going to collide with him. He's going to get those calls. And I've started to notice Brady. He does the Jimmy thing where he sells it without selling it. Like Jimmy doesn't flop. He's not a flopper, but he sells contact occasionally just enough. Okay. That the officials realize it. And I can feel Jaime doing the same thing. So before we close, and thanks to our sponsors, Rock Esports Center and also Better Edge, you want to add one thing to his plate now over the next 2 to 3 weeks. What do you add?
Oof. I don't want to – I wouldn't say the pick and roll stuff because I don't feel like it's necessary, and especially if there was a pocket to do it, it wouldn't be with the guys coming back. I would probably say – a little bit more mid-post stuff where they're trying to search for switches. Because one thing I will say real quickly, the funniest thing is how we constantly talk about getting switches for like Jimmy. And then we start talking about with Jaime. But Jaime doesn't even look for switches. Like that's the big difference between him and Jimmy. Like Jaime will go at whoever is on his back. Like, it does. He's not having Tobias on him yesterday and looking for Maxi or looking for any other guard. Like, he's just going at him. And he's so physical that it's a different physicality. Like, Jimmy plays physical, but like Jaime's like at this point, like just running his shoulder into your chest to any part of the court. Like, that's just what he's going to do. And that's why I totally agree. And I'm glad you hit on that before this ended, is the fact that the foul calls are only going to go up, and he's still getting them right now. Like, it's not like he's not getting a whistle at all. It's just going to increase. But I will say, I feel like there's a way of making things easier for him. And that ties back to where we started this thing and saying running actions for him, where it's like, okay, off ball, set this screen so Jaime can get this matchup, then work the ball around to him and let him work and then play off of that. Like, much like they do with Jimmy, instead of just making him absolutely work for every bucket and go at these certain guys. So I'm interested to see if they do that. But once again, like I said before, I don't think they're going to adjust until somebody stops it. Like, until somebody stops him from these certain spots and shuts him down, there's no reason to go away from what's working. So I'm sure they have it in their back pocket to flip to whenever we reach that point.
You know, the other important thing here is, and this is something that like Steve Kerr hit on when he was talking about finally playing the young guys more in Golden State. And he talked about, you know, the idea of making sure that, you know, the veterans were cool with it, essentially. And he got a little heat on social media about that. But if you've been a successful coach in the NBA, you know that matters, that it matters when you start to give a larger dose to a young player, how the veterans are going to react to it. And I remember, again, with Dwayne back in 2003, Eddie Jones, who was the star of that team when Dwayne came — it wasn't a very good team, but Eddie and Karan were there — and Eddie was talking about Dwayne, talking Dwayne up the whole year, like telling us how great he was going to be. Like, if we didn't realize that this guy was going to be a superstar, Eddie kept telling us over. And Eddie was a guy who at that point had been a three-time All-Star and had a seven-year, $86 million contract. I'm noticing the same thing from these guys. Like, I don't sense any resentment from them towards him. Maybe I'm missing something, because sometimes in locker rooms, these petty resentments kind of build up over shots, over playing time and all that. But I don't sense it. And I don't think it's coming from Jimmy. I know it would not come from Bam. And I don't — talking to Tyler a little bit on the side, I don't get that sense at all that he's — and those are the three guys that it matters the most for. And then the role guys, Josh seems to be a huge fan of his, and Duncan's a huge fan of his. And I've seen a lot of interaction between him and Caleb, and it seems like Kyle is pumping him up, and we know Kevin does. So I just get the sense that they're embracing, and I think there's an understanding on this team now that this is a guy who can help push them to the next level. Like, they needed a boost, a spark, somebody new to come in. We saw it even with Kevin, but this different. That was a locker room boost. This is an on the court thing, and I just think it's hugely beneficial for these guys who may have gotten a little tired of each other, of Spo, of the whole process of getting so close but not finishing in the playoffs. Now they've got this like bolt of lightning, and I don't get the sense that they are resentful of it. I don't. So I think that's a huge thing, and I think it gives Spo the cover to give him more, to put more on his plate, because he's taken minutes from other guys. Okay. And I don't sense anybody is upset about that. All right. For Brady, I'm Ethan. Check out, you know that already. You know who we are, I think, for better or worse. All right. Check out our sponsors, Rocky Sports Center, Better Edge. Use code 5RSN. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.